Welcome to the Lyme Voice Network. We are chronic illness warriors, caretakers, and advocates who are overcoming illness in all of its many forms. We created this show to inspire, educate, and encourage you on your path to wellness. We're here to help you put the puzzle pieces of healing into place. Join us and our network of Lyme warriors as we discuss how fighting is a mindset, healing consists of choices, and living is the outcome.
Hello, friends. Today's podcast is brought to you by these sponsors. Invita Medical Center, a center of excellence for personalized oncology and Lyme disease treatment located in Scottsdale, Arizona. What defines Invita is the undeniable truth that every patient who has the courage to come to Invita and walk through their doors discovers the incredible healing and compassionate care that can only exist in a clinic that is radically focused on patient outcomes. They provide a focused team of people with an exceptional heart for serving their patients. At Invita, they have discovered a revolutionary solution for patients to help improve their quality of life. Call to speak with one of their patient care coordinators today. Invita helped save my life back in 2013, long before this podcast existed, and they became a sponsor. They also helped carditis after getting reinfected a couple of years ago. I highly recommend them, and you can hear more about Invita in episode 80. All right, now on to the show. Welcome to another episode of Lyme Voice. I am your host, Sarah Slickty Sanchez. Welcome to the Lyme Voice radio show and the WGLRO. We talk about chronic illness in all its many forms. And with me today is Limor Leahy Debbie, who is the founder and host of the Mindset Go podcast. Thanks so much for being here with us today.
Hey, Sarah, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be on your show.
Yeah. So we got to meet several months ago. I got to be a guest on your podcast, and your whole message has just absolutely resonated with me. And we've gotten to do several coaching sessions together. And so I wanted to bring you on just to talk about the gift of using your mind to transform your reality, the gift of using your mind to manage depression, the gift of healing your mind to take yourself where you want to go. And I have just already benefited so much from your experiences and your mindset that I definitely have been looking forward to this interview. So,
me too. Thank you again for having me. So, you know what? I'm going to start with this saying of an old rabbi that is not between life anymore. He died many, many, many years ago. And he was the Tony Robbins back then, I think. 1,000 years ago, or he said that a person is where his thoughts are. Make sure that your thoughts are where you want to be. And it's basically saying where focus goes, energy flows. Whatever you're going to think of, whatever you're going to put your mind on, this is where you're going to plant the seed. This is where the thoughts, the reality will grow. Because this is how reality actually become. It starts with a thought and moving to a word. We're saying it. We think it first. Everything we see around us. This iPhone was a thought in the beginning of it. The clothes we're wearing, the food we're eating, everything in this world started with a thought. And then it moved into a word. Someone say, I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to create this. I'm going to try this. And then it moved into an action. And only when we wrap it with a beautiful, colorful wrapping paper that's called belief, then it can form into reality. Because people come to me and say, well, it's really nice what you're saying, but you know how many times I tried to manifest something and I was thinking it, I was saying it, and I was actually trying to act toward it and nothing happened. And I say, well, did you believe that this is going to happen? When you try it, did you try it one time and you waited for the universe to give it to you only because you thought it and you say it? And you were doing one step ahead toward it, or you really did it with a full belief that it's going to happen, even though you don't see it yet as a form of reality in front of you. So that's the secret ingredients that we have to add to everything we want to create in our life. It's the belief that it's there, that it already exists for us.
Limora is speaking like an absolute transformational mindset mentor, NLP, life and spiritual coach. And I do just, she oozes wisdom and information on so many levels. And so I think one of the aspects that you and I have connected on is just the ability to turn pain into an empowerment.
Right.
So take us to a moment for you of where you begin the practice of turning pain into empowerment.
Sure. I would love to share my story. This is actually the story that turned me to be the mentor and coach I am today. So if I'm running all the way back to 14 years ago, over a decade, I found myself divorced. And it wasn't the first time. It was in my second divorce. I found myself 31, 32 years old with a little girl, and I was divorced for the second time. And I got so much movement in my body and mind that I didn't even know what's going on. I felt like someone took just the rug under my feet and I'm falling into this deep hole. And the reason why was, it's because when I got divorced for the first time, I did what everyone taught me to do. And I was thinking it's my fault or his fault, because that's what I knew. It's either my fault or him or her or it, because there must be someone's fault. And if I don't want to take it on me, I don't want to blame myself, then it's him. So in my first divorce, it was his fault. It was his mom's fault. It was my mom's fault. It was everyone else's fault. But me, I was just perfect. It has nothing to do with my behavior. It was nothing to do with what I attracted to life. I just got into the situation. This is how I saw it. But then when I got divorced on the second time, the pain.
I think this is so fascinating. I love this story. You've told this to me. But because not everybody is willing to take responsibility and ownership of, like, for you, you said when you got divorced for the second time, you're like, okay, wait, maybe this is about me.
Yeah, but it didn't happen like this, because I said, it started with, okay, I blame the first guy. Now it's a different guy. So it happened again. And for me, when I was 20, before I got married and the first time, I had this belief that only people that are not okay get divorced. Something is wrong with you when you get divorced. So I already had this belief planted in my mind before I even got married on the first time. And after I got divorced first time, I said, well, it just happened. I'm not so messed up like the people I think they are messed up when they get divorced. I just got there accidentally. But when it happened on the second time, I knew. I felt so much pain because I knew I cannot anymore blame anyone. So I didn't know what to do. And I said, okay, if I blame him and it didn't work, the first one, and it's happening again, so I need to probably blame myself. Because like I said, that's what I've been told by society. It's my fault or their fault. So I blame me. And I said, okay, Limora, it's you. So let's see, how can we fix you? That was my first state of mind. I wanted to fix me. I didn't know that I was not broken. I thought that something is broken with me. I said, okay, let's see, how can I fix myself? What is so wrong with me that I keep doing the same thing over and over, keep attracting the same stories, getting divorced twice? Something is wrong with you. And I had my first coach ever. Before, I knew psychologists, psychiatrists, coach. I didn't know what it was back then. Like 14 years ago, it was kind of a new age thing that not everyone knew. And I went to her. And it was a female coach, and she and I went to this beautiful, beautiful journey together. And what I've discovered in this beautiful journey, that it wasn't no one's fault, that it wasn't my fault. He wasn't him. It wasn't the other guy. It was not my mom. It wasn't no one's fault. It was just that everyone did the best they can with the tools they had at that given moment. I behaved in a certain way because that the tools I had. And when I say tools, I mean my life experience is a tool. My belief are tools. If I, and this is who I was back then, I did not believe I'm pretty. I did not believe I'm beautiful. So when you have a thought like this, I'm not beautiful, and a man that look to you like someone that will never go out with you, you take him and you say, yes, I want to be with him, but only because you feel that no one else will pick you up and say, okay, I want to be with you because you're not pretty, for example.
Yeah.
Everyone has different beliefs, and those are the tools. And I realized that this is what I attract into my life. And the beautiful thing that today I teach is the confusion that people have between taking responsibility to a blame. Taking responsibility is not blaming yourself. Taking responsibility is understanding that I created this because I had limited tools at that time. So I'm not blaming myself, I'm not blaming others, but I know that this is was me that created it. And I'm not mad, not neither with myself or with others, because it's based on the tools I had. And if I know that they were limited, then I cannot expect something else. It's like talking to a 2 years old, telling him, why are you not completing a test in college? Because he doesn't have the tools. Mm. So this is where I started. And then I just went after coaching to learn more, to read more books and courses. And this is where we get to a point where I realized that everything I went through was my training to become the coach I am today. All this pain was not pain. It was a great gain, because through it, I've learned so many things. I grew up to be that coach, and I see how, because of those experiences, those events, how did I grow? Because I think there is two ways. I can look at the pain and I can look at the gain. And like we talked in the beginning, it's really a matter of which seed you're planting. Because if you are going to plant the seed of pain, this is what happened to me. Life did this to me. It wasn't me. I'm a victim. I'm screwed. This is how I'm going to feel. And another thought from the same feeling will grow on top of it, a bigger one. I'm a failure. I'm nobody. I cannot hold marriage, whatever the case it is. Okay. And then another one will grow and another one grow. And I don't need to tell you that if this is where my focus is, this is where the energy going to go. And this is all I'm going to see, how miserable I am and how I got screwed up by life. But when I'm thinking, wow, hold on, life gave me a gift. My attitude is different. My happiness is different. Of course, it's going to affect my health, my mental health, and my physical health, because this is an event. The event cannot be changed. The only thing that can be changed is the meaning we give the event. And the meaning we give the event are the one that give us feelings. We're going to feel according to the meaning we give the event. In any event, think about being in a party or in a class, and someone walks in and they have this face, this cold face. One person will think they're such a snob. One person will think they're thinking of something, they're worried. One person will think, oh, they are focusing something else, they whatever. Everyone will feel different toward that person according to the meaning they gave to the same event. And this is very powerful.
Yeah. So it is. And it's a skill learned, I think, to dissect between responsibility and blame. And you're right, like, we come to the table with so many beliefs, whether it's, okay, if you get a divorce, there's someone to blame. If you cannot get out of bed because you're sick, you're lazy. There's all these beliefs, a lot of which are subconscious for us for years and years, unless we're diving in and assessing them. But how do you get to that point where you take a step back from what is a painful situation, whether you have, there has been an injustice, there has been a long-term chronic illness, there have been labels, let's talk about depression. There's all these experiences and labels that we attach to them, and that impacts how, like you said, where we're focused on. And if we're focused on there's someone to blame within this versus there's some, how do I take responsibility for this and change it to the best of my ability so that it doesn't own me? I'm not lost in the depression. I'm not lost in blaming people, because
right.
Those limiting beliefs don't actually get you to where you want to go. They keep you locked in. So how do you start to juggle that responsibility versus blame aspect of looking at all of life through those lenses?
It's a great question. And there is a saying that Albert Einstein said, insanity is to do the same thing over and over again and expect different result. So most of the people that are going to listen now to the show, they're over 20 years old. I don't believe a 10 or 5 years old will listen to this show. So we already did things in a certain ways. For example, I already got married and got divorced one time. That means it happened already. Okay. And I was acting in a certain way. I took the blame and I put it on something outside of me, or some people do it on themselves, but I blame someone. And it didn't stop the second divorce from occurring. So when you already do something, let's say sickness or depressed or a certain behavior, that you already act as a victim, and it didn't stop from the next event to occur or from the reality to happen again, that mean that what I'm doing is not working. Mm. Now, I can choose and say, you know what? I don't want to take responsibility. And that's taking responsibility on you not want to take responsibility, and you want to keep feeling like someone else own you. And the reason why I say that is because when we blame others, we actually telling them, you are my owner. You are in charge on my happiness or my sadness or on how I feel. Because if I blame you and I say, Sarah, I'm upset because you did this and this and this to me, or I'm scared or I'm whatever, that means I'm telling you, you controlling my behavior.
Wow.
And when we realize that, a huge golden nuggets just click, and you say, oh my gosh, I give power to people? And the answer is yes. You activate their power by giving them the power, by saying that what you're going to say is affecting how I feel.
Yeah. Wow. That's really powerful. I've never made the correlation between blame and giving away ownership, but that is 1,000% accurate.
Right. So when I've learned that, I was like, oh, wow. That was the first thing that made me, and I hope everyone that listened to our show today, to say, no F way. No, 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 no. No one is going to own me. No one is going to decide if I'm happy, if I'm sad, if I'm feeling this way or another way. I'm the only one that in charge on my body, on my spirit, on my soul, in all levels. I'm the only one that in charge. And once you take this, this is connect also to taking responsibility, because if I'm in charge, then I can change. When I blame someone, I'm asking them to change in order for me to feel better. How crazy is that? Think about it. We want someone else to change in order for us to feel better. Why do I need to put my happiness in someone else's hand? If I create it, I can change it just like this by changing me I'll tell you a short story, a quick one. A soul came to the creator and say, I'm going to change the world. The creator say, well, cool, good luck, go to Earth, we'll meet in a few years, I'll call you in your dream. The person was 30 years old, creator came through his dream. So did you change the world? What's happening? The soul was really excited. Don't worry, I'm on it. I have so many great ideas. I actually started where I'm 30. I started my way. I'm going to change the world. Say, amazing, we'll talk again. Same thing when the soul was 70 years old. Creator comes, what's going on? And the soul say, listen, I'm there. I'm so close to change the world. I do so many things. Since we talked last time, it's been 40 years. I've been working full force. Creator say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do a goodwill to that soul, and I'm going to give it 120 years to live. After 120 years, the person died. Soul came up to the sky, wherever you want to call it, different dimension, meeting the creator. The creator say, the soul came pissed, furious pissed. The creator look at the soul and say, what's up? So the soul say, 120 years I tried to change the world and I couldn't make it. And this world, it sucks. And what do you give me? Couldn't you tell me that this world cannot be changed? And then the soul see the creator start to get pissed. So the soul say to the creator, why are you getting pissed? I was the one that was trapped in this body for 120 years. But the creator say, because you're a stupid soul, you could learn the lesson in one day, whatever took you 120 years and you did not learn. So the soul look at him and say, what do you mean? The reason I'm trying to do the translation in from Hebrew to English. So the creator told him, the only thing that you needed to do is to change yourself and the world around you will be changed. Instead that you spent 120 years to change everyone around you.
Wow.
And I gave you an extra time to learn that. But you didn't. So all we need is to change ourselves. We try to change everyone else. We try to change our kids. We try to change our husband, wife. We try to change our siblings, our friends. No, 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 you don't understand. Do that. No, 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 you get it wrong. Who told you that they got it wrong? Who put you in a situation when you try to change the entire? Concentrate with yourself. And also, don't spread all this energy getting everyone else's opinion about your life, everyone control about what you should do and you shouldn't do, what makes you happy and what doesn't. And remember that you can communicate on a certain things with different and certain people. For example, I went this weekend, I went to a spiritual whole course, and it's with crystals and it's with mantras and it's with meditation, and it's not for everyone. It's not for everyone. And when I had a friend that saw, because the teacher was putting the story in Instagram, it's like, what is this thing that you went through? And I know they're not connecting spiritually. And this is something that will make them laugh about or will look at. I'm like, no, it's just a workshop, whatever. And I changed the conversation because I know that not everyone always talk about the same thing in the same level. Not everyone is right to have conversation on the same matters. You can have this great conversation with your dad about buying a real estate maybe, but he's not the person to talk to him about your marriage or how to raise your kids or what fashion goes right now or what aspect to put on your new videos for your business. And it's okay. So I'm returning back into the blaming. And into, we give people power over us. And that's where we ask opinion. And this is where we ask, we go, now think about it. People tell me, I have a good friend. I don't need a coach. And I'm like, listen, I'm not here to convince you if you need a coach, but I just want you to see the difference. So people ask me, what is the difference? And I say, when you go to a friend and you tell them about this problem you're having or whatever it is, you're actually going to another person that have different experience, different limited beliefs, different life story that went through a different whole experience, and you ask them what to do in your case. So for example, let's talk marriage. you go into your friend and you ask her that she's married to someone else. She's a different person. She grew up with different parents. She went through a different experience. And you're asking her, what do you think I need to do about my marriage and my husband? What do you think gonna happen? She's gonna give you her map of the world, what she think that is right for her. And then you try to fit it into you. And that creates more chaos. First of all, because you didn't went and find what's work for you, instead of digging with yourself, what's really resonate with who you are. And you also involve her, her energetic, her karma, you involve her in the decision of your marriage. So now it's not anymore between you and your husband or you and your wife. It's between your friend, you and your husband, because you did what the other person told you. So if you really want to have someone to help you in your marriage, go to a marriage counselor, go to a marriage or a relationship coach, go to someone that can help you in this matter, because that person does not come and tell you their personal opinion. They can come from the personal journey based on the professional tools they had. Buying a real estate, you don't go to your grandma that never bought a house and ask her what's investment to do. You're going to go to someone that did it many times because they are the expert.
Yeah, they see the whole game plan. They see the whole course or the whole field and can advise you differently.
Yes. And that's, again, bring us back to the control and the energy and the force I give other people over me. That's why I gave different type of examples. It can be with an advice. It can be with blaming. It can be with decisions. But all you really need to do is to be loyal to yourself. Listen to your voice. No one else know better than you. If you don't feel good with something, it doesn't resonate with you, ask yourself, because everything is in you. All your answer is within you. No one knows better than you. It's just that you didn't listen for a long time.
So let's talk about NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. You're an NLP coach, mentor, trainer. How has that impacted your life?
Well, that's actually, it's a beautiful, beautiful tools that really changed my mind, because this is, for example, what I just said. It's something that I learned from NLP, for example. But there is so many great things in NLP. One of them is this basic assumption that the map is not the territory. What does that mean? The map is what I see. So if I put between me and you the number 6, you will see 6, I will see 9, or other way, right? Now, we both right, we both wrong, because there is not one true. I see 6 or 9 based on where I'm standing. Same thing for you. So when we realize, that's one of the basic assumptions of NLP. When we realize that I see what I see about this event, about that person, it's based on where I am. That means if I'm going to be in a different place, then I'll see something else. That's what I said when I realized that I did the best I could with the tools I had back then. That's where I was standing. I couldn't see the digit 9. I saw only 6 because I was standing in a place where I couldn't see. So I started looking for other places to look from. And then I saw everything. So this is one assumption that changed my life. Another great assumption that changed my life is that repetition is the mother of all skills. If you want to be really good at something, do it again and again and again and again and again and again until you become really good at it. And just so you understand that if, for example, someone is feeling like a victim, it's because they did it so good again and again and again and again that they become really good at being a victim. It can work the other way around too. So if you want to flip that, you need to just change this behavior. I've learned that, did you know that 93% from our communication is nonverbal? It has nothing to do with what we say. So right now, people will gonna hear me. They might either like my tone or they're not gonna like my tone of voice, the way I talk, my accent, if I go high, if I go low. this is how they go into base their opinion if they want to listen to me more or not. That's why, and you said we can curse, so I'm going to make it funny. That's why there is a difference between I say, I hear you, bitch, to I hear you, bitch. And all I said, I changed my tonation, right? So when people talk, and you know what? There is one more thing that I think it's very important. When I grew up, I don't know about you, how was it? I'll see now from your reaction. It was when, let's say you say something to me and I did not understand. I say, no, you didn't explain yourself. Or for example, if I say something to you, I'm sorry, if I'll say something to you and you didn't understand, I'll say, you didn't understand me. No, you got it wrong. There's the sayings. Well, on NLP, you learn that 100% from the communication that come out of you is on your responsibility. That mean if you did not understand me, it's because I did not explain to myself to you as well. And I need to find another ways to explain myself. So your understanding has nothing to do with your understanding. It's with the way I explain myself. And just this can solve so many miscommunications, because you can see people talking. Yeah, she da 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 da. I told her this. She took it completely out of line. She da 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 da. And I'm like, no. You try to do it now in a different way. You take the responsibility. You see, again, we're talking about taking responsibility. Don't blame the other side that they don't understand, that they didn't hear well, or whatever the case is. Make sure to be clear for them, not clear for you. We talk to other people like we want to be talked to.
Yeah, it's crazy how everything is circling back to responsibility versus blame, even in a simple conversation, in a text thread. What did I communicate? What did I actually say versus what I felt, which might vary from what I was trying to say. Yeah, communication is massive. What did you say, 93% is nonverbal?
93% is it's nonverbal. It's, if you see me now, it's the way my body moves, my face, my tonation, everything, then verbal. How many times, think about this, how many times you went to this room or to a party and you have this person that you come back from this gathering and you say, I don't even remember everything he said, but I just love that person, something in him, something in her, and vice versa. It's like something in this person I don't like, I want them to get away from me. So many times it's not even what we say, it's how we say it. This is why a lot of people, including myself, don't think that I don't have challenges in my life. I do. I have a 16 years old that her middle name is attitude. And it's including rolling her eyes. It's including those weird voices that sound like, they're not pleasant. And it's not even what she's saying. Whenever we have conflicts, it's about how she says things.
Hello, friends. Today's podcast is brought to you by these sponsors. Urbane Medical. Urbane Medical is a boutique ketamine infusion center located in sunny Scottsdale, Arizona. They provide a hospitable environment rather than a hospital environment. They're eager to accommodate your family in any way they can during your time of healing. Ketamine can promote a sense of well-being, decreases brain fog, and reduces chronic nerve pain. I interview the owner, Jonathan, in episode 109 for more information. I can attest to what a therapeutic environment they offer at Urbane Medical. And Jonathan Evertson, the owner, makes you feel safe and comfortable and also has some really fantastic playlists available upon request. I have seen with a number of my coaching clients that ketamine is a game changer on a number of levels. So if you are in the Scottsdale area, check out Urbane Medical. All right, now on to the show.
So you referenced your energetic vibration. And I think I connect and like and dislike people based on the energy they have. And energy has been something that has become so important to me because as I battled chronic Lyme, that was one of the things that got taken probably right away. And if you have energy, you can impact everything around you. I would always have to think of every situation that I committed to or event that I went to or birthday or kids' sporting events. What's the time, energy, and money involved? Because those were limits. I was limited in those three areas over and over again by my illness. And I'm saying, I'm generalizing. I don't actually fully believe that's really true. But where I was at the time was those three factors were all I felt limiting me. And so I'd always have to juggle, how much time do I have? How much energy do I have? How much money do I have to tackle this event, to be present, blah, blah, blah. But your energetic vibration is that 93% that you're talking about, like the nonverbal. It's what you believe. But it goes deeper than that, because we haven't even started talking about like deep, deep depression and illness. But when you, it's interesting, when you are dealing with a chronic illness, it's very often that you have a lower body temperature. So this is something that people deal with regularly. And literally, if it changes the way your energy, the way you use your energy, you're not functioning like you would normally as a healthy person who can recover and stuff from events. So as energy got taken away, it became more precious. So I felt like what I kind of started to do was look for energy exclusively. But we have talked about this before we started recording, but energy, and especially if we're operating at low, low levels of either victim mentality or depression, deep depression, that impacts the energy that we are giving to ourselves. It impacts the energy we're pushing out. And then that starts to impact your entire reality.
Right. Definitely. Because it's the same thing works on whatever we put into our soul, into our body, will reflect outside. What does that mean? My dad passed away 3 years ago, and he passed away from cancer. And the cancer he had, even though after this it went all over, but it started from the eyes and then it went directly to the liver. And my dad was a man that grew up in a Middle Eastern kind of environment, that respect was a big thing in this tradition. Did he respect me? Did he not? Did he come and say hello in a good way or not? Did he listen to me? And so on and so on. And I remember as a child, when my dad passed away, he was 74. And I remember as a child, and even my daughter, you know what? When my daughter was little, she used to say, "Why grandpa is so grumpy? He's always upset about something." He wasn't a nervous person, no, but he was grumpy always. He always had to say something about something. And I believe that he was drinking cups of this feeling of, "I'm not respected, I'm not worthy, I'm not. This anger, this frustration, this not good enough eventually came in his liver. So the same thing as you say, and the reason why I say it, because this is what he put in his body. Unconsciously, he did not know any better.
Unconsciously, culturally, I get it. My husband's family is Hispanic, and I walked into this whole new, I was from a German family, and you might give a side hug here and there, but it's pretty, there's not a lot of physical touch. And I walk into a family where if you don't go around the room and hug every single person and say hello,
right,
in a certain order, someone's going to be offended. And I'm like, what is happening here? So I get that. If his mentality is that I should be respected, and then therefore if I'm not, I love that analogy you just did of literally you're drinking energy of toxicity.
Right. Right. And there is a great book of Louis Hay.
Oh, yes. I just finished it. I just
Oh, really?
finished her book, You Can Heal Your... Yes, and I watched her documentary based off of her life. It's on louisehay.com. Love it. And she goes in and talks about how if... I'm not joking. I probably have 80 plus affirmations that I do after reading her book specific to if I'm feeling chilled consistently. Because when you have Lyme disease, you have so many symptoms. It's called the great mimicker and the great imitator, and it mimics so many illnesses. So you'll have symptoms where your heart, you feel weak, or your heart is palpitating, and so you feel like you're going to pass out, or you could be chilled. There's all these things. And when you've lived with that for a long time, you're just like, oh, okay, I'm having a flare, or I'm having a rough day. And I felt like through her book, I was able to say, no, what am I really dealing with here? Why is this present in my life? And what is the limiting belief? What's the belief, underlying belief here? And so even she talks about cancers, that where they settle and how they manifest is based on your thoughts.
Right. And everything is for people. I tell you what, for people that are not into self-development and not into spirituality, it's hard to understand sometimes that we are a vibrate energetic body. We are, because they see body, they see face, they see woman, they see man, blonde, dark, and it's hard for them to see as an energetic vessel, but this is who we are. And we need to understand too that sometimes, and that I wanted to say before when I heard you, that sometimes, let's say when you were 4 years old, even though you don't remember, your teacher were talking, okay, Sarah, let's say like this, with this voice, and it stuck in your mind and she wasn't nice to you. And then I came and I have the same voice, and it doesn't matter who I am. Your brain is recognized this voice with unpleasant memory or event. So immediately you're going to think, oh, she's energetic, toxic. I don't like her, whatever, because it's just touch in somewhere. So really, when you, I always say, listen to your inner, because whoever you don't feel comfortable hanging with, that's great. But as long as you don't have, oh, I cannot stand this person. If you are parv, and parv mean not dairy and not meat, it's parv. That mean I feel nothing. I just don't want this person next to me. Then you're fine. But when you feel like, ugh, this, you need to understand why you're feeling this, ugh. What does it show you about yourself? What is this here to teach you? What's going on? Why are you reacting in a negative way? And definitely, no, I tell my daughter all the time, I'm no one garbage can. You neither. One garbage can. If people want to put their toxicity, they want to throw things at you, don't. And don't throw your toxicity on them. Don't tell your child things that your mom or your dad used to tell you. Or do the opposite because you're trying to fix yourself through them. No. Try to be like a mirror. A mirror shows, but doesn't give her opinion. If you look at the mirror doesn't tell you you're ugly, you're fat. It just shows you who you are. You give it meaning. We are the one that give meaning to things. So, and the reason I say kids, because I wish they will teach this in school. I wish kids will have those skills to become those adults, but right now it doesn't. So you can take the responsibility and say to your kids, you want to be a great teacher. You don't want to throw on them all this garbage, all these things. And if you don't feel like, if you're a kid, sometimes my daughter, she can get me like fired up. I will go. I will take my sneakers. I'll put them on and I will leave to take a walk and to clear my head, to disconnect myself from the situation before I'm going to tell her things that I'm going to be sorry about. And I'm trying to see what she's here to teach me. And we're going to wrap it up with this story, because that's what happened with my daughter last week. And I want you guys to understand how to take a situation and switch it. So last week, my daughter, like I said, her middle name is Attitude right now. She's in her 16. She answered back. And it really got to a point that was too much for me, too much. It got to a point where I felt like I'm being pushed into the corner. I was actually feeling I never lay a finger on my daughter, but I was feeling the urge to hit her. That's how crazy it got. And it's okay to say it because that's how I felt. And I'm okay with that because if I'm going to hide my feelings and my emotion, I'm going to create a monster. If you bring it out and you talk about it, that's part of healing. And I went to take a walk and I say, why you feeling this way about her? What does she show you? And immediately, like I say, attitude, I say, well, she always speak up. She always speak up. She always answer back. She never. And I say, so why, what does it press? What buttons does it press for you? And immediately I went to where I was a little kid and I did not speak up. I was sexually abused and I didn't talk. I wasn't talking also in the house. Like, I was a very quiet, pleasing girl. I was per se the good girl that do what she's been told. So who's my teacher? My daughter.
Wow.
And your teachers, your magnifying glass will always, always, always going to be extreme. She's not balanced yet because that part of me is not balanced yet. And if I balance myself, accepting who I was as a kid, accepting the fact that I didn't speak up, accepting this part in me, she immediately will move and change. Like the story I told before, the change yourself in the world around you will change. Because I realized she is not the issue. I'm the issue. Why she's getting me so mad? Why she can answer back? I can have a friend and my friend will be, her daughter will answer her back and she's not moving. Nothing happened to her. And I'm like, seriously? So I know that this press my buttons. So I understand she's just a mirror showing me what's existing me. So we always tell the messenger, thank you. You showed me what exists in me. Now let me deal with this pain. That's where I start working on this pain, accepting who I, and by the way, the shift can be in a minute. The minute you see it, the minute you accept it, the minute you send love and care to that part of you, to that child that did not speak up. That's why I become a speaker.
Yeah.
Look what a job I chose. Because without this, I will never become that speaker I am today. I was quiet for so long as a kid. And she's the opposite. So this is how you heal. This is called the shadow work, mirror work. Everyone can call it different. So this is basically seeing. And what you ask me, because I do want to give tools to people, you said, Limora, where do you start? Then I say, first, understand that if you did something in a certain way, it didn't work, then change it. The second thing, start small. People take, there is milestones. Don't just run the marathon. Don't say, okay, I want to lose 34 pounds and I want to run marathon and I'm sitting in the sofa and doing nothing right now. Your brain, your subconscious will not believe you. It will say, screw you, I'm not doing it. You need the milestone that your brain can adjust to, that can believe that it's possible. Because your brain is telling you, really? You want to lose the 30, 50 pounds? You already tried this. You say you're going to do it. You didn't do it for so many times. And you remember when you tried this one and you quit. You remember when you tried this one and you quit. And it will tell you a story. And you're going to say, ah, let me make another sandwich. That's what's going to happen. So what you really want to do is you want to cut and chunk your goals into a small milestones. That means if you eventually want to run into a in a marathon, you're going to say to yourself, okay, that's my long. But right now, all I want to do is to be able to walk 30 minutes. That's it. That's my first milestone. And when you reach that, you go higher to 1 hour. And when you reach that, you start running 10 minutes and walking 40.
Well, and what you said earlier about repetition too, right? It's habit stacking, it's repetition, but you're building within yourself. If you simply, which I understood with chronic illness, when I left treatment in 2013 and had been totally disabled, in bed for 2 years and excruciating pain for 7, I get out of treatment and I'm like, still barely functioning. I was maybe functioning at like 15%, and it took me a solid 2-3 years to really get back up and functioning. But the repetition for me became so vital because I didn't fully understand what I was doing, but for me, I juiced every day. I had to do coffee enemas every day. I had to drink a ton of water, swallow all these supplements. But I was building a belief within myself that this illness, these circumstances were no longer in control. Like, even if I'm operating at 15%, even if I can only stand for an hour or two a day, I'm going to stand and juice because that's going to give me energy for the day following. But you start to build that belief within yourself. And even you, like when you're wanting to scream at your daughter, you chose to put your sneakers on and walk out of the house. You're building belief within yourself that you can be trusted, and then trust your own self. And then that empowers you to then view the circumstance or the situation differently, or change your attitude about the situation, change the words that are coming out of your mouth.
Right. And people need to understand that people think magic. People want to lose, 10 pounds in 2 weeks. People want quick, and there is no instant for those things. Things take time. Be patient toward yourself, toward the process itself. Changing a pattern physically in your brain, a pattern take 21 days. A habit, it's around 66 days. So you need to do something over. Think about kids, right? When they are little, we tell them, go brush your teeth, go brush your teeth, go brush your teeth, go brush your teeth. Now, when we're adult, we get up in the morning and we do it automatically without thinking about it because it's become a habit. So actually, physically, there is change on our brains. So all the narrow, when we take a new habit. So I'm saying, like you said, repetition is the mother of all skills. Okay, that's one. And start small with things that your brain going to say, okay, so for example, that's a great example. I wanted to start waking up at 5 a.m. and I was waking at 9 a.m. Going from 9 to 5, my brain going to say, yeah, right. So what I did was I start waking up at 7. And sometimes it's even hard for that. So do 8 and then you move to 7 and then you move to 6 until you reach there. Because yes, you can get up at 5, you can do it immediately if you really believe that the benefit of this, it's way more, it's benefit you, so you will do it. But if it's something that is on the surf, you're going to do it 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, and then you're going to go back to your old habit. So what you really want to do, you want to build it. You want to build it in a certain way to grow it. And really have patience toward yourself and toward the process. Because let's say you only walk today, you don't feel so, I don't want to say depressed, but let's say you feel down in the past month. And in the past months, you did not do any exercise. And today you only walk 10 minutes outside with yourself, with music. It's 10 minutes more than yesterday. It's 10 minutes more than the whole month. And if you do it for 10 minutes, you can raise it up to 15, to 20, to 30, to 1 hour, to whatever. But if you do nothing, then it stay there. So sometimes I always say, it's not so hard to go and work up in the gym. The hardest work is to get your sneakers on and leave the house.
But tell us about your experience with COVID, especially with this background in mindset coaching and how you've been walking this out.
Okay. Well, to be honest, when I was really taking care of me, my daughter, I didn't believe that we should stay in the house, not hanging out. I still believe in it. I think that I always say I'd rather die alive than live as dead. I didn't want to stop living life. So we were living our life really cool. And no, I did not get COVID. Then one day, a friend of my daughter came from New York visiting. I live in Florida. She came visiting and she brought COVID with her. And my daughter was full of energy, talking 200 miles an hour, always hungry. And I was out. I was out, out, out. Thank God I was breathing okay, but I was tired. I was with headache. I was with stomach ache. I couldn't eat. I was nauseous all day long. And I really felt like someone opened my brain, took my brain out and put a sponge, because I wasn't able to talk to no one, not even in the phone. Zero patient, no focus, no way of thinking. You care about nothing. I cared not about what I eat, not about my life, not about my business, not about anyone. I only wanted to be in bed, and it took 3.5 weeks and it was really bad. So while COVID was here, I did nothing but being sick. I was in bed. I was thinking nothing. I was not able to think. I was sleeping most of the day, to be honest. But the minute I started to get stronger, I looked at this and I say, okay, I wanted to see how this was a gift for me. And because I see people, it was from the first person that called me. It's like, oh, poor baby, you got COVID. And I don't like the word poor. I'm like, poor baby? No. That's not me. I'm actually lucky one. So I start looking at the COVID and ask myself, Limor, if you believe that everything you get is a gift, how can you call this a gift? You were out for 3.5 weeks. And so first of all, I think the life that I felt when I left the house for the first time and I was walking and I was not weak, this joy that felt my body, I couldn't even think about wanting to leave the house during this 3.5 weeks. Just walking. I have a huge circle. It's a golf course here. It's beautiful to walk around. So just do it was a great, great appreciation. I'm like, oh my God, I actually enjoy it. That was the first thing. And then I said, come on, there is a bigger gift there. Search. And immediately I saw it. I wanted to move so many things in my business and to create and to do before COVID, and it didn't happen. Sometimes you need to surround to the process. Sometimes you need to stop. It's not always to push, push, push. Sometimes you just need to let go. I always say, let go and let God. And I was fighting with it. I didn't want to let go. I'm like, no, I'm going to try it. And this didn't work. And this didn't work. And this didn't happen. So I believe they did justice with me from a divine purpose and say, you know what? We see our child is a little bit, it's hard for her to let go. So we're going to help her to let go. And they just put me into this coma. I was not able to think. I didn't care. My business wasn't even, I actually got relief because like I say, sometimes we're stuck in our heads for too long. And this is what starts all the worries, all the things of what I am, what I'm not, what I do, what I didn't, what I achieved, what I didn't achieve. Look at this one. She was your student. She's now just advertising. She's probably better than you. Da, da, da. All those voices, they were driving me nuts. They did not do good to me. So I believe that the universe gave me this to put me like, when you go to operating room, they put you on sleep in anesthesia for 3.5 weeks. And when I get up, I'm Jewish, so I celebrate Passover. When I just recovered, it was Passover. And it's already a great spiritual journey for me, Passover. I use the story of Passover. Maybe I'm going to end the show with that story because I think it's good for everyone. And I just experienced Passover and it was amazing. And I got so happy and so calm. And that's the gift that COVID gave me, not to take anything for granted, to appreciate, to be in a gratitude mode, and to be thankful for putting my head into sleep for a while, because those thoughts was the one that was driving me cuckoo. So I think I just got help. So we're going to end up with a story about Egypt.
Yeah, tell us your Passover story.
Yes. So I like to use the story of Egypt in my courses and my lectures because I think that it touched every soul in this universe. So the story of Egypt is the Israelis were in Egypt. They were slaves. And then one day, I'm doing it fast. Moses came and say, I'll take you out of Egypt. And they went into the desert and in the middle of the, and they left Egypt to go to the promised land. So the journey was 40 years. And in the middle, they were supposed to get the Torah, which is the Bible, the Holy Bible, and to go into Israel, which is the Holy Land, the promised land of everything. And I think that we all of us have our Egypt. Our Egypt is our limiting beliefs, our fears, our comfort zones. And we all have our promised land, the goal that we want, the dream that we want, the fantasy that we have, the things that we want to achieve. But we need to leave our Egypt in order for us to get to our promised land. We need to let go of certain fears, of certain beliefs, of comfort zone in order for us to get to the promised land. So a lot of times what happens is that someone like you, like me, comes and or like someone else that did it to us, come and say, hey, I'm your Moses. Let me help you get out of Egypt because you are a slave of your thought. That's what actually happened to me in COVID. Mm. That's exactly what happens. The divine came and say, okay, let me take you out of Egypt, out of your head. But what happens sometimes is when we are on our way to the promised land, we don't have patience. We don't have patience. And in the middle of the journey, we want to go back to Egypt, not because it's better, because it's known, because it's comfortable, because it's give us certainty. I'm already knowing what to accept. I will be a slave. I will be hit by the Egyptian. I will be done. But I know what's going to happen. I know how my day going to look like. I know what's going to bring tomorrow. And I don't need to be worried about the unknown. So many of us are afraid about the unknown. And that's why I love to tell this story. It's actually one of my workshop that I have, you know, 3 hours workshop that I take people into goal setting and into achieving their dream through that story. It's what is your Egypt? Ask yourself, what is my Egypt? First of all, what is your promised land? Because if you don't know where you are right now, when you don't know where you're heading, how the heck you're going to get there? How are you going to get somewhere if you don't know where you are and where you want to go and how you're going to measure it? So first know your promised land. Then know your Egypt, what's holding you back, what's holding you there, not moving. And then have patience and keep walking in the desert. Because sometimes in the desert, like in the desert, you're going to have Fata Morgana and you're going to see things that are not really exist. And your imagination going to show you and all the fears and your voice is going to show you things that are not really there. It's a vision. For those who does not know what's Fata Morgana is, actually, physically, if you go in the desert for a long time, you can imagine things. It's you see it in all the movie. That's Fata Morgana.
Interesting.
So I wish all of you to live their Egypt and to get to the promised land and to have the patience. All of us, I wish myself and Sarah, you too, to do that things and to remember, keep your eyes on the target. Because like every journey, you're going to have doubts, you're going to have fears, you're going to have voices, you're going to go, you're going to have people that's going to tell you, ah, you shouldn't do it. When I started my journey, I started with spiritual videos. I remember my mom came in and said she was really ashamed. She's like, people think something is wrong with you. And do you have to put it on Facebook? That was many years ago. And I said, you don't have to be in my face. If it bothers you that much, but it didn't put me down into, oh my God, I'm not going to be in a spiritual path. I'm not going to, because my mom thinks it's great. No, that's her opinion. It comes from her. Today, my mom called me. I have a friend. Can you help her? That's today. Because my mom taught me how to learn to accept myself. My mom was only a voice. And that's what I want you guys to remember. In your desert, those voices, those fears, those people, just going to show you who you are, the parts in you. My mom showed me back then the parts of me that did not accept who I was and was looking for approval all day long from its family. So she showed me the opposite. Until I get to a point where I say, I love myself. I accept myself. It's okay if you're not.
It's okay if you don't want to be my Facebook friend.
I still love you. Yeah, it's okay if you don't find it interesting. I told it to my brother too. I said, listen, you don't have to like what I like. But I do. And I accept this. And I accept the fact that he doesn't, because I love him for who he is. And I'm not trying to change him to like what I like, because that's will do the same thing for him. No. And then he will be today. He's the first one to share many of things that I do, because he's no longer reflecting this part of me, because I healed that part. I've learned to love myself regardless to other people's opinion.
Hmm. Wow. It's powerful. Okay, my dear, how do people get in touch with you?
Well, people can search me on Facebook, Limor Lihi Debbie, Instagram as well. Those are the best ways to reach out and send a message, and we'll connect this way. Usually this is how I connect with people, reference of word to mouth or through the media. And I really wish that everyone that listened to the show, first, I hope you enjoy it and that the message came true. And even if one person will change something in their life because of this talk, so I did my work in this world, because this is how it works. And remember that you are on this call right now, listening to this episode for a reason. It's no coincidence. This is where you see the universe, God, the creator, call it whatever you want, in everything, and understand, it's not just for me to listen and to move on to my day. It's what can I take from it? What one message I can take from this call, from this conversation, from this session? And I wish everyone to have a beautiful journey in their desert. And remember, there is a promised land. You just need to be patient. And to thank you, Sarah. I think you're an amazing woman. I think you're a strong woman. I think that your journey is very special. And through your Lyme disease, you got to this podcast, to others, to do so much work. And I know for sure that this is just part of the way. There is such a great journey ahead of you, and you heal with this.
It is. It's a coming out of Egypt journey for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And this is how you heal people. You heal people through your journey.
Yeah. You heal people when you empower them to stop their own suffering. That's really immense.
You cannot do it for them. You can.
Right. Yeah. No, everyone has to go. Everyone has to leave Egypt on their own. They have to do it consciously. They have to do it on a lot of levels. And like you said, you have to know where you're actually going, what you actually want. And to even acknowledge and say, hey, I don't want to be in Egypt anymore, is aspects of responsibility and blame, like we keep coming back to, of just even owning it. Like it is, it's easier. We talk briefly about victim mentalities, but when you are enslaved to something, especially like you're talking about COVID wiped you out for 3.5 weeks. In this community, people are wiped out in that same capacity where they cannot work, they cannot provide for themselves, they're not the person they once were. Some of them are in that mode for decades.
Wow.
And it literally does steal your mind. It reshapes your brain functions. I mean, it's similar to a traumatic brain injury when you're dealing with chronic neurological Lyme disease, that you aren't who you once were. You don't have the same abilities and you don't have the same energy. And yet within that, there is power to walk out of that enslavement. And that's a lot of what I do every week, is these intense 2-hour coaching calls of helping people assess where they're at, assess the slavery they're in, and then what leverage they have to walk out of that, whether it's financial, based on their geography, whatever it is. And so it is a powerful healing journey, but it's immense and the cost is immense. But like you said, you're coming out of slavery. Whether that's an emotional slavery, whether that's a physical slavery, whether that's being enslaved by chronic pain or depression, man, it's a journey.
What you say now, give me just one more advice to whoever listening to us and have a chronic illness or depression. If you're able in your hard days to do it for yourself, then do it for yourself. But if not, on your good days, tell the family members that surround you to do it for you. And this definitely will help a lot. Gather. Okay, so your subconscious is always listening. It's, even when you're not, when your conscious is out, your subconscious is listening. When you are on those days that you cannot leave bed, you want to feed your subconscious, because our brain does not know the difference between imagination to reality. And if we imagine something really strongly, like we say, repetition is the mother of all skills, then we'll see it as happening. You can record yourself and put it as a meditation. You can put meditation to yourself. You can put empowerment. You might, for example, let's say, Sarah, let's say you know that sometimes you have, you can record yourself and say, hey, Sarah, you're very strong. You're going through this, da-da-dee-da-da-da. Yeah, yeah, this, da-da-da-da-da-da. You talk to yourself, and then you tell your husband, when I'm in bed and I'm not even able to put play, you put this for me every night, repeatedly, for example. And for sure, because sometimes, like you said, and I thank God I didn't experience it for a long time, but I understand that. Sometimes you can't even do those things that we recommend. So I don't want people to say, seriously, you don't even know what it is. And so that's why I'm saying prepare yourself. It's like prepare yourself for the winter, right?
Yeah, for sure.
People know that in the winter, they cannot go and hunt and they're going to be locked down. So they prepare food, right? They store food. So the same thing works for this. Store the food for your mind, the mind food for you for your winter. So you can be prepared. Gather, do like sets of meditation that will activate your subconscious, if it's a grateful, gratitude, or worthy beliefs, or whatever the case is. Do that and prepare yourself for your winter. That's the best advice I have based on what you just said. And last thing before we say goodbye, the Louise Hay book also can teach you every organ come from, what's the cause for this illness or pain. And that will help you also to concentrate and do some energy work, healing yourself. Dr. Joe Dispenza is amazing about this. I will highly recommend to people that have a chronic disease, that are ill, that don't just search it up, Dr. Joe Dispenza, to get tools, because I think it's very powerful. It was a pleasure. I must run to my next session.
Yes. Thank you so much. Feed your subconscious. I love it.
Yeah, just prepare to your winter. That's I think the key. We need to prepare for winter.
Lamour, it was such a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sarah. I love you and I love being here and I hope I'll come again.
Okay.
You'll invite me and I'll come again.
All right.
Thank you.
All right.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hello, friends. Today's podcast is brought to you by these sponsors. Medical Bill Gurus. The experts at Medical Bill Gurus are dedicated to innovative solutions for any medical billing scenario, which we all have in this community. Oh my gosh. With empathy at the forefront of their daily mission, Medical Bill Gurus is dedicated to being in the trenches with patients and raise awareness for the daily challenges facing them. From medical billing errors to raising awareness for their diagnosis, Medical Bill Gurus takes pride in speaking with patients every day and helping them find guidance on how to navigate our broken healthcare system. Their patient advocates are available to help reduce medical bills and assist patients with navigating a dynamic health landscape. I also interviewed Daniel Lynch, an founder of Medical Bill Gurus, in episode 111. In addition to helping you get money back from your insurance company, if you need help deciphering what health insurance provider to choose, and I have done this several times a year for years now, or you are looking for a clinic that is covered by insurance, they are a great resource for all things related to medical bills, figuring out which insurance provider you could or should have. They're an awesome resource. Again, I use them multiple times a year. Give them a call.
Disease is contrary to life. Therefore, wherever disease exists, life must also fight to exist.
Good job fighting, Lyme fighters. Keep it up. We'll see you next time.
Lyme Voice contains general information about medical conditions and treatments. The information is not advice and should not be treated as such. Okay, Lincoln?
Okay.
The medical information on Lyme Voice is provided as is without any representations, warranties, expressed or implied, okay?
Okay.
Lyme Voice makes no representations or warranties in relation to the medical information on this podcast. You must not rely on the information on this podcast as an alternative to medical advice from your doctor or other professional health care provider. If you have any specific questions about your medical matter, you should consult your doctor or other professional health care provider. And for you, you consult your parents, okay?
Okay.
If you think you may be suffering from any medical condition, you should seek immediate medical attention. You should never delay seeking medical advice, disregard medical advice, or discontinue medical treatment because of information on this podcast. Got it, Lincoln?
Got it.